Morning in 1 Kings and the chapter number 18. That is the 18th chapter of the book of 1 Kings. And I want us to read some verses from this passage of God's word, commencing at the verse number 17. That is 1 Kings and the chapter 18, and commencing to read at verse number 17. Let's follow the reading of God's infallible and God's holy inspired word. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 17. Let's follow the reading of God's truth. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the grove 400, which eateth at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But of Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves. Cut it in pieces, lay it on the wood, put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock and lay it on the wood and put no fire under. Call ye in the name of your gods, and I will call in the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose ye one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many. And call on the name of your gods, and put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and they called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he's talking, or he's pursuing, or he's in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth, and must be awaked. And they cried aloud, and cut themselves after their manner with the knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. Came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, though there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and he cut the bullock in pieces, and laid it on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels of water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time. And he did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time. And he did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. It came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abram, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell.
We end our reading there, and we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his infallible truth for his name's sake. Let's just bow our heads for a wee word of prayer. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we bow before thee and we thank thee that thou art God alone. Realize that they're the gods of wood and stone, but they are no gods. Realize that they're the gods of gold and silver, of man's imagination and man's hands, but they are no gods. For thou hast said, thou shalt have no other God before me. But we thank thee that as Elijah cried unto thee, O God, thou art the Lord God, the Lord God of Israel, Isaac and of Jacob. But we thank thee that thou art our God this morning. And as we bow before thee, we ask of thee that thou wilt come thyself, and Lord, that thou wilt speak to our hearts and take of thy precious word and write it upon our hearts this day. We pray that if there be those in this gathering and they know not thee as their God and their Lord and their Savior, that this day that they might bow their hearts before thee as their heads are bowed, that they might yield their hearts to thee. Young man, give me thine heart. O God, answer prayer, for we ask these things in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Now, once again this morning, we return to our study in the life of God's servant Elijah. And as we have already studied the life of Elijah, we have had the privilege of observing a man of God, a man who was willing to stand alone in a day of darkness, in a day of apostasy. He was willing to take his stand for God in that evil day. And as we have looked at God's servant, we have seen how that God is sent into his life and brought him through trial after trial. I believe teaching him a very precious lesson, how important it is to depend completely and totally upon the Lord. All of his training, all of his trials, and all of his trusting have brought him to the place where he is able to stand alone for God in the power of God. An entire nation has turned away from God, except for 7,000 people that he didn't even know about. 7,000 faithful followers of God that had the rest of the people had given themselves to the worship of Baal. All that God had done, I believe, in Elijah's life was in preparation for this special moment in his life, when that God would prove to the nation of Israel again that he was God alone. Now, we've looked at this chapter 18 in the days that are past, and we have seen the charge that was laid against the servant of the Lord. In verse number 17, it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? But then we noticed the grace and yet the fortitude of God's servant, because although Ahab was the king and an evil king and a powerful king, we see that God's servant, when the charge was laid against him, how did he give the contradiction in verse 18? I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. He contradicted the charge of the king. He did it in the power of God. He was unafraid to do so, even though the king had the power to kill him. Yet Elijah trusted God because he believed that this was a moment that God had brought him to. And then we notice not only the charge and not only the contradiction, but then we come to the challenge. Because in verse number 19 it says, "Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the grove 400, which did eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And I want you to notice something. Here was one man willing to stand alone, and yet he was making the commands. He was making the commands, even to the king. He said, "Now therefore," he's talking to the king, verse 19, "gather to me all Israel, and unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, and the prophets of the grove." So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets. You see, he had power, because he was standing in the power of God. And then we notice here the challenge in verse number 21. Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" Now I want you to get this scene. It's Mount Carmel, that large mountain near the Mediterranean Sea. And I want you to see this vast crowd of people that are gathered together. And whilst the prophets of Baal are there, notice what God's servant does, friend. He just turns from the prophets. And he turns, first of all, to the people. Now, he's going to challenge the prophets in a moment. But first of all, he turns to the people. God gives him wisdom. God gives him wisdom how to act. Remember what we've read in James chapter 1. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And you, as you face the end of this year, or if God wills it, we face a new year, there is something that every one of us will need for the challenges that lies before us. We need the wisdom of God. We will be faced with situations we have never faced before. We are faced with challenges we have never been faced before. And we need the wisdom of God to do that which is right in the sight of God. And God's servant uses wisdom. He doesn't turn to the prophets of Baal. No, he first of all turns to the people. Because the people have turned away from the Lord. And when he looks at the people, he gives them a powerful challenge. Notice what he says in verse 21. "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions?" He asked them an important question. He went to the very heart of the problem. How long halt ye between two opinions? You see, the people of Israel in Elijah's day, friend, were guilty of playing both sides of the street. They were playing both ways. They were trying on the one hand to hold onto the hand of God, Jehovah, but on the other hand, they were trying to hold hands with Baal and the prophets of Baal. They wanted the best of both worlds. And that's what he challenged the people about. And friend, I want to give that challenge to God's people in this house this morning. Because I do believe that many of God's people are wanting the best of both worlds. They are wanting to play both sides of the street. On the one hand, they want the Lord. And they want the comfort of knowing that whenever they face the challenges of life, or the trials of life, or the burdens of life, or the afflictions of life, or even the sorrows of life, that they've got someone there. And if they come to the end of the journey, then they have heaven too. They want the comfort of that. But on the other hand, they want to hold on to the world. They want to hold on to the world. They want to conform to the world, the style of the world, the look of the world, the decorations of the world. And friend, the tragedy is this. So when that happens to God's people, it's not that the church or that the world gets more churchy. It's the church gets more worldly. And the question is this today. How long are you going to halt between those two opinions? You see, there are those who are ungodly people, yes. And there'll be many today, let me tell you, and they've lived this Christmas season, and they've lived it for the world, they've lived it for booze, they've lived it for the things of the pleasures of this world. But of course, that ungodly person will salve his conscience. He knows, well, there's a God there, and therefore they've got to sort of appease him. And so they'll come with their religious acts. They'll come to God's house on the Lord's day. But we understand that. That's what the ungodly do. But friend, that's not what the child of God does. You belong to him. I belong to him. We don't play both sides of the street. We don't try to hold on to the world. The word of God says, be not conformed to this world. Do not let the world squeeze you into their way of going or their way of looking. When you see a child of God, would you know them? Would you know them immediately? There's a Christian. Or would you have to ask yourself a question? Who are they? Then that's not the way that it ought to be. We are not to be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You will not want to look like the world. You'll not want to be said, my, you look like some of these pop idols. No, you'll want to look like a Christian. You'll want to exhibit Christ-likeness. Not worldliness. And here's a man standing, 450 prophets of Baal. But friends, listen, as if they're not there. Yes, he will deal with them. But he turns to the people. Because the people have turned away from God. The people have listened to the false prophets. And they have turned their hearts away from the Lord. And he's challenging them, first of all. And he says, how long halt ye between the two opinions? Now the word halt there is not the policeman standing up, halt. In other words, meaning stop or think over something. That's not the word. The word halt there means to waver between two opinions, two attitudes, two convictions, two thoughts, two positions. In other words, these people, they couldn't make up their mind as to what attitude or what position they were going to hold. In fact, that's what's happening today. God's people are afraid to come down on the side of the Lord and be sold out for him. That's why we have in worship today churches that are playing both sides. You know what they have today? They have one service today. And they'll have that there. That's for sort of those who want the ordinary kind of a service. But they'll have the contemporary. After it's over, they'll have the contemporary service. Why are they doing that, friend? Two opinions. It's not what the Lord is glorified with. It's what man's craving for. And that's what the church would like to be squeezed in today. They're trying to conform to the world. And so we leave aside the things that we were taught in the days of old and come into God's house and reverencing God's name. No, you can come anyway and just do anything. But where does God come into this? Is he two-minded God? Is he a holy God? Or is he the man upstairs? And let me tell you, we're talking about the God who holds our breath in his very hand. He is a righteous and a holy God. And let me tell you, the angels and the seraphims and the cherubims, they cried out, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Now he said, "How long halt you between two opinions?" You see, they weren't completely sold out to Baal. But they certainly weren't loyal to Jehovah. They were straddling both sides of the fence. They had divided allegiances. And our brother read this morning, turn to the book of Revelation chapter 3. And this is what God said about the church at Laodicea. In verse number 15 of chapter 3, Revelation, "I know thy works." God says, listen, I know all about you. He says, "I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot." God says, listen, I would rather that you were cold or hot. "So then, because thou art lukewarm, thou art neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, I increased with goods, I have need of nothing." And God says, you don't really see yourself. Thou art wretched and you're miserable and you're poor and you're blind and you're naked. And where was God, friend? Read on down, verse 20. "Behold, I stand at the door. And I'm knocking." And friend, the sad thing about us today is this. The church of Jesus Christ needs the blessed power of the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit left the church, the average church member wouldn't even miss him. Because 90% of the church programs would go on without a hitch. Why? Because they're not done in the power of the Holy Spirit. They're done in the flesh. What a tragedy. So where do you stand this morning? In the book of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, just turn there for a moment. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, verse number 30. This is what the Lord said. "He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." You cannot straddle both sides of the fence. If you're not with me, Jesus says, you're against me. That word, halti, can also mean to totter, limping along the fence. But notice the challenge again. He said this, Elijah came on to him, verse 21. And Elijah said, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" How long? What does that indicate to us? That indicates to me, friend, that it has been going on for some time. It's been going on for some time. And what's he saying here? It's time it stopped. Year after year, my friend, during the time of drought, they have been continuing to waver one way and the other. They've been going from side to side. The wavering of the Israelites was intolerable, not only to God, friend, but to God's servant. And that's why he said, look at verse 21. "If the Lord be God, follow him. and of Baal be your God, and follow him. In other words, he says, it's time to make up your mind. It's make up time. But it's make your mind up time. Time to stop talking out of both sides of your mouth. It's time to make a decision. You see, some were following Baal, some were following Ashtoreth, and then some half-heartedly were glancing towards Jehovah, but they were undecided. Child of God, this morning, we're leaving an old year shortly behind, but let me tell you something. If you say you love the Lord, then you'll keep my commandments. If you say that you love the Lord, then you'll want to honor him. But many of us, as God's people, friend, we claim to love the Lord and we hold hands with the world and the flesh and the devil. And that's a contradiction. You are either for God or Baal. And just make up my time. You see, that's why that some singers can sing in the pub on a Saturday night, and then they go to sing in God's house on a Sunday morning. Sing in the choir. They stagger out of one to the other, because it seemed to be all right. But God's servant is reminding Israel, listen, you have paid an awful price for your practice. Drought has devastated your land. Your fields are parched. Your food is scarce. Your people are dying. And the bottom line is this: how long will you halt between two opinions? How long will you go on the way you're going? He said, listen, just like Joshua, choose ye this day. This is what he was saying. Choose ye this day, and you'll serve. Make your mind up time. And friend, let me tell you, he put the question to them. What was the answer? With not only the question, with the quietness. Look at verse 21. And the people answered him not a word. They had nothing to say. They had nothing to say, friend. And of course, we shouldn't be surprised at that. Because up to this moment, these people have been doing exactly as God's servant had challenged them. And they had no answer to give because they knew that they were guilty. And the tragedy is this today. Many of God's people are not willing to take a stand. Like these people that were cowardly. They had a wishbone, but they had no backbone. So they thought the thing to do was just say nothing. Say nothing. But truthful, they couldn't justify what they were doing. They couldn't justify it. You know, sometimes life will present you the opportunity to shut up. And the sad thing is, we don't often take it. But life gives us more opportunity to stand up. But we don't often take it. Now is the time to stand up and be counted for God. That's what's been said here. You've got to take your stand. Oh, he knows exactly what the prophets of Baal are standing for. He knows what they're going to say. He challenges the people because they have a choice to make. They have a decision. Choose ye this day whom you'll serve. You know, sometimes silence only opens the door for evil to monopolize the floor. Many times God's people have remained silent when they should have spoken up. And sad to say, many times they've spoken up when they should have remained silent. We need wisdom. Wisdom. In all thy getting, says the old servant of God of old, in all thy getting, get wisdom. And so we see the challenge. And then we come, verse 22, to the contest. Oh yes, he hasn't forgotten the prophets of Baal. No, no. There's a time to turn to them. He has challenged the people. And friend, ere we leave these verses here before we move on to the contest, just as Elijah recognized it's time to face down the issues, is it not true this morning in your heart and mine? We have a choice to make. Who are you going to serve? There's some of you in this service this morning, and friend, you're not saved. And you've lived every day of 2015 for yourself and your sin. And yet you're facing God. And you could meet him at any time. You have a choice to make. Who are you going to serve? There's people here this morning, and then you look back on your life. You once lived for God. You once loved the Lord. You once served the Lord. You once enjoyed the house of God. You once enjoyed the Word of God. But be honest. You don't have that same joy. You don't have that same love. You don't have that same peace. You can have it, but you have a choice to make. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't have it both ways, friend. You have to face a choice. Now, what's your choice? That was the challenge. And then we come to the contest. It says this, then said Elijah unto the prophets, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Now it's true that God revealed in chapter 19 that there were 7,000 others that hadn't bowed the knee to Baal. But friend, where were they? Where were they? God's servant felt that he was one man alone, and there were 450 prophets of Baal. And there were 400 other prophets of the grove, but here was one man, but he was standing alone. He wasn't his own. But thank God he was willing to take a stand. And here's something, remember this. If we stand with God, friend, we're never alone. You're never alone. Matthew chapter 28. It says, lo, I am with you always. I'm with you. Let's be honest, there are times we do feel alone. Let's not pretend things. There are times, friend, let me tell you, that we feel disappointed. People let us down. People turn their back on us. But you're not alone. If you love the Lord, you're not alone. I am with you always. Hebrews chapter 13, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You're never alone. God says, I'm with you. And I know there are people in this service this morning. And let me tell you, your life in this year that has passed has changed. And a loved one has been taken and your heart's breaking. And perhaps you close the door at night, friend, and there's nobody there. I want to tell you, there is somebody there. And he sticketh closer than even a brother would ever do. His name is Jesus Christ. And he says, I will never leave you. Depend upon you. God is my refuge and he's my strength. He's that very present help in trouble. Thank God for those that are courage to take their stand. 1 Samuel chapter 17. It's the story of the challenge of Goliath of Gath. And Israel was defeated. They were discouraged. They were afraid. Go down, please, just for a moment in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him. And they were sore afraid. They were terrified. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that has come up surely to defy Israel? Is he come up? And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistines and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Verse 29, and David said to his brothers, what have I done or now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the same manner. Verse 32, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine. He stood in the power of God. He was all alone. But he took on the powerful enemy of God for him, because he knew that God was with him. And so we find the contest is given here. It was a necessary contest because God had ordered it. Go down to verse 36 of chapter 1 Kings 18, and it says this. And it came to pass at that time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abram, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, mark this, and that I have done all these things at thy word. God ordered the battle to take place. God ordered the contest. And that's why you and I can't run away from the battle, friend. Oh, I know there are people this morning, and let me tell you, there are even people who will listen to every part of this sermon and all of our sermons to try and pick up some little thing. We can't run away from the contest. We can't run away from the battle. This is a day that God has brought us into the battle. We have got to stand against error. We have to test the spirits and see whether they be of God. Try them, God says. Try them by the book. And he was willing to have his claims checked because he was unafraid. He knew he was there in the center of God's will. And we need to raise the standard of truth. And he said this, if the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, follow him. And then he said to the prophets of Baal, let them therefore give us two bullocks. Verse 23, and choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, lay it in the wood and put no fire under. And call ye in the name of your gods, and I'll call in the name of the Lord. What a man. What a man of God, friend. What a man of faith. A man who was willing to stand for God. And both were given the same test. One bullock and one altar for each. Notice, he wasn't willing to put his bullock on their altar. No, he would put his bullock on God's altar. We live in a day of compromise, where light is trying to mix with darkness, where they're trying to call truth falsehood and falsehood truth. And compromise is on every hand, friend. But listen, God's servant realized, listen, I'm not putting my bullock on the altar of Baal. No, I'll put it on God's altar. And I'll call upon the name of the Lord. Now, we have to finish this morning. But before I do, I say this. The contest was this. Notice, no fire under. No fire under. Do you know why? Because the prophets of Baal were known to put deceitfully fire under, as if it was Baal was answering by fire. Why? Because Baal was considered the fire god. He was considered the fire god. He was considered the fire or the body of the sun. And I have no doubt that the devil could have sent the fire. I have no doubt. He sent false fire before. Read the scriptures. He would have sent the fire if he had been permitted. You know who was in control? God was in control. And I proved. Turn to Job just as we finish. Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. And Job chapter 1 and verse number 8 says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he'll curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. God says, you'll go so far, but I don't permit you to go any further. Child of God, let me tell you. God sends things into our lives. God permits things also into our lives. But let me tell you, God knows how much to send. And God knows how much to permit. And it's not to hurt you and not to blister you, it's to bless you. God knows exactly. And God was here clearly in this situation. And the test was a God that answers by fire. The God that answers by fire, let him be God. And notice what the people said. In verse 24, and all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Elijah's got the old prophets of Baal caught. They're caught now. Because whenever he turns to the people, call ye upon the name of your gods, and I'll call in the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it's well spoken. They can't get out of it now. People's watching. And let's be honest as I finish. The people's watching. The eyes of the world are upon you and upon me. And we've got to make our choice. God says, thou shalt have no other God before me. If the Lord be God, follow him. May God help us to go forward and follow him. Where he may lead me, I will go. For I have learned to trust him so. And I remember 'twas for me that he was slain on Calvary. You see, Elijah knew that God would answer by fire. He had done it before.